The Hoop Heads Podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast. It's Mike Lensing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. Today, Jason and I are going to be discussing how you can help develop a winner's mentality in your young player. And we have eight different things that we're going to talk about today, different ideas and concepts that we believe can have a great impact on your ability to develop a winning mentality in your players or in your child. Number one, winners have confidence. And Jason, I think confidence is something that's very important. And I know at one point I read the book, The Talent Code by Daniel Coyle, which is a very interesting book. If you haven't read it or if people out there haven't read it, I'd highly recommend it. He's actually a Cleveland guy that's from Shaker Heights. But what he wrote about was just these different talent hotbeds that popped up all around the world, and from soccer in Brazil to this dinky tennis club in Russia where they produced just an outsized number of world-class soccer and tennis players. And then he gave some other examples too. But the bottom line was, what he believed was that skill building is confidence building. And I think that's one of the things that parents and coaches sometimes forget, is that typically the kids who are the most skilled are the ones that that have the most confidence.
Yeah, and I agree. I think confidence is really, really important. I mean, you go back and you look at teams that are really, really not that good at basketball, whether it be NBA or regular teams. A lot of times the reason that they aren't very good is because they're not very confident in themselves. I mean, I look back at those terrible late 90s Cavs teams, and they were really, really bad after the era of, like, Bobby Phils and all them. They were just really bad. And I remember watching the games and being like, they don't even look like they're having fun out there. They don't have confidence. They're going into these games knowing they're probably going to get killed, especially when they're playing, like, Jordan and that whatnot. But I think I look back at that and see, you know, it's really important for kids to have confidence going into situations. And if they don't, I mean, games that I've coached, a team that we've lost to by 30 points, they come into the game before and they're like, oh, we're going to get killed again. Like, they don't even have any – it's like there's no hope whatsoever. So really trying to build confidence in them and making them feel like they can win, because – ultimately, if they go into that with that mindset, that's probably what's going to happen. And if they don't go in with that mindset and they say, oh, maybe we can actually win this game, you know, then they have a better chance of succeeding.
For sure. And I think that confidence, again, comes from their ability and their skill level. As a coach, you know, it's your job to instill that confidence in your team. But the way you do that is by helping your team to be well-coached and disciplined and do the things that you want them to do out on the floor, which – again, should help them to have a better opportunity of winning. I know, speaking as it from a player's perspective, when I was playing, I tried to go out every time and truly believe that the people that were across across the court from me were not, that I could beat them, that I was going to be able to compete. And there was probably times where, I may have been a little delusional in terms of the guys that I was playing against probably were better than me. But I felt like I had put in the time and had the skill to be able to compete with anybody that I stepped out on the court with. And the more you can build that skill, the more confident you should be. And then the last thing I want to bring up on this particular topic is, I've had parents that have come up to me at various times. They say, you know, little Johnny really is, you know, he's a good player, but he just lacks confidence. And, you know, then I go back to that whole thing of skill building is confidence building. Yet at the same time, I read somewhere, and I can't remember who, I wish I could attribute it to the right person, but basically what the person said was that, you know, there's some people that you don't want to be confident. You know, if they don't have the skill, you don't want a kid who shoots 1 for 20 from 3-point range in practice being a confident 3-point shooter. They shouldn't be a confident 3-point shooter, because if their confidence is higher than their skill, then they're going to be doing things that they probably shouldn't be doing. So, again, as you build skill, you're going to build confidence.
All right, and moving into the second thing, winners do the right thing. And I always look at, talking about my players when I coach or when I played, like, I always try to do the right thing. I always try to instill in the players that no matter what, even if I'm not watching at that exact moment, you're doing the right thing. You know, whether if you're sitting in the driveway alone working on your game, you shouldn't be just sitting in jacking up 3-pointers the whole time to work on the fundamental skills that you're going to need to improve yourself and improve your game. And I think that goes with, like, development, going with the skill development you previously mentioned, you know, making sure you're working hard and doing what you're supposed to be doing. Because, you know, it's easy to say, oh, you should do what you're supposed to do, and then not the person not follow through with it. Oh, yeah, I'm doing that, and then not following through. You know, I coach cross country too, and, you know, we do these warm-up laps, and it's impossible for me to, we're running around the school, it's impossible for me to keep my eye on all 50 kids at one time. But I have to be confident that they're going to do the right thing and not cut corners. And if they do cut corners, their teammates are going to tell me about it. So I think that's really important to kind of make sure that kids are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Or, you know, yourself, if you want to develop and be a better player, you need to work at it. And it's not just going to happen to you overnight. You're not going to go to bed one night and then wake up the next morning and magically be better. You need to do the right thing.
And I think the other thing that goes along with that is the fact that when you don't do the right thing when it comes to practicing or doing what you're supposed to do in a sports arena, that eventually comes out. If I go away for the summer as a high school player and my coach doesn't see me for a month and I tell the coach, hey, I've been out working on my game and I'm, you know, making 300 jump shots a day and I'm working on my crossover dribble and I'm doing all this, and, you know, it's easy for me to say that, but if I haven't been doing it, it's going to be very, very obvious to the coach when I actually get out on the court or into a practice arena that I didn't do those things. And so I think you made a great point of doing the right thing when no one is watching. And, you know, it's easy to work hard at the moment when the coach is staring at the drill that you're participating in. It's a lot harder when the coach has their back turned or the coach has to walk into the locker room or you're by yourself in the summertime and no one's there. It's much, much harder to it's much, much harder to do the right thing. It requires much more discipline on the part of the player. And I think one of the things that, you know, obviously we're talking about developing a winner's mentality here from a basketball standpoint, but this is a key for, again, your players, your child to do no matter what the circumstances, and it's something that's going to serve them well in life. If they learn to do the right thing all the time, even when no one's watching, it's going to lead to a much higher degree of success, not just in basketball, but in life. Number three, the third way to develop a winner's mentality is winners believe that their future is bright. And I think optimism is a key trait of people who are successful and happy. They equate their hard work with the eventual success they're going to have. And they know that when they work out on the court and they put in the practice time, and they're doing the things that they're supposed to do, that eventually, down the road, that practice and that effort is going to pay off. It may not be immediately. Nobody expects to practice one time for 90 minutes and completely turn their game around. But winners know that if they keep working and they keep believing in themselves, that their future is bright. Things are going to end up better for them because of the hard work that they put in.
And, yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think the big thing is, like, when you're looking at it from, we've talked a lot about individual aspect, but if you look at it from a team concept, you know, teams, as the beginning of the season begins, you know, you never know what you're going to quite get with the team, but working through things and believing that you can be better and your team can get better, you know, from game one, your team is going to be very different from game 15. So even if it starts off rough, having confidence, and this goes back to almost the first point, having confidence, but having optimism that your team's going to get better, and working through it, working through teams, working through communication, working through all the things that you need to do as a team, you know, you can get better. And like you said, it's not going to happen over one 90-minute session. It's going to take, you know, months, essentially, to get better. And that could be on an individual basis and on a team basis. So I think understanding that you have a bright future and you're optimistic about that is going to be key in developing a winner's mentality.
Yeah, I think a great way to look at this is from the opposite perspective, where if you don't think things are going to get better, if you don't think that your hard work is going to pay off, if you don't think that as a team you can improve over the course of the season, you can see where that could really drag down a team's attitude and ability to compete, or a player's attitude and ability to improve and get better. If you think that, boy, I'm never going to be better. If you think that, hey, here I am in fifth grade and I didn't make the A team, or I'm only a rec player, I didn't make the travel team, or I couldn't get onto the AAU team I wanted to get on, and you believe that that's kind of where you're always going to be slotted and that's where you're going to be stuck, it's certainly going to take away a lot of motivation from you and cut into your desire to work hard when you don't feel like you have that control and that the future that you have in front of you isn't going to be better. And so I think that's a way that we can look at it and hopefully convince ourselves that, hey, it's important to be optimistic. It's important to believe that we have a bright future.
We'll move on to the fourth thing to develop winner's mentality, and winners make them those around them better. And I think this should be obvious, I think, because, you know, you don't necessarily have to be the best player to make someone better. I think that having a good mentality and having a good focus, along with kind of helping develop skills, and this could be on the communication aspect, this could be, you know, working with one another. If a coach is constantly praising one person and making them feel good and showing you, a lot of times the other players will strive to be like that kid. You know, there was a kid last season that I had on my team that I would give him positive praise, and some of the other kids would be like, oh man, he's getting, like, you could just see that they wanted that same attention. So they then did the drill right, or they then showed me what they could do that's beneficial to the team and beneficial for themselves. So I think it's really important to understand that, you know, they're always trying to make other people around them better. You know, we can talk about, like, LeBron is the NBA player equivalent of someone that always seems to make the people around him better. You know, just passing, the way that he passes the ball, the way that he kind of brings out the best in some players. And obviously that's not all the players he's played with, but a lot of times he made people better on the roster than they actually were. At the same time, you know, we can bring it down to our level with youth. You know, kids have the abilities to be good role models on the floor, both skill-wise and the way they handle themselves, and it will rub off and it will create winning situations for people. So I think it's really important to look at, you know, winners will make the people around them better, and winners will make their team better just by being there.
For sure, and I think there's two things that we look at here in terms of styles of leadership. What you were describing is somebody who leads by example through their actions. So they're, you know, working hard in the drill, they're doing the things correctly, they're coachable, and when other kids around them see them doing that, it's going to make them more likely to fall in line and want to follow that particular person. And I think one of the things that and then the other one would be the way that you're leading, not just by example, but you're also leading through your words. And some people are more quiet leaders, some people are more vocal and directing and telling people what to do, and helping to guide them to do the right thing and make good choices. And so I think both of those types of leadership can be effective. I think with kids, you're probably more likely to get the kid that leads by example as opposed to the kids who leads verbally, because I think leading verbally is something that tends to develop a little bit later in life than you know, the youth programs that we're talking about. But certainly both of those are ways that kids can make the other kids around them better. And I think one of the things that we've talked about before is, if you're a basketball player and you're on your team and you're trying to figure out, how do I make the people around me better, I think it's important to remember that the only thing you can control are those controllable aspects, like your energy, your attitude, your enthusiasm. And those are things that, regardless of whether you're playing well or playing poorly on a given day, those are things that you can bring every single day. And those things, I know you know this, Jason, tend to be contagious. And when you get one kid who's bringing energy and bringing enthusiasm and is always at their best, that tends to rub off on the other players. And I think that that's what somebody who is a winner does. And it's not, again, like you said, it's not necessarily the best player who has to bring that. It certainly helps if your best player is your most enthusiastic and has the best attitude and brings the most energy. That's tremendous, but it doesn't always have to be. Sometimes that can come from the 12th man, somebody who's just a great teammate all the time. And that's what we want kids to do. We want them to make everybody around them better. Let's jump into number five, which is, winners embrace the journey and focus on small steps. And I think here what we're talking about is, a lot of times, you know, you'll see players and they'll be thinking about, oh, I want to, you know, win the championship at the end of the season, or I can't wait till I'm, you know, a varsity basketball player. Or they have these big, huge goals, which are great. But winners understand that in order to get to those huge goals, there are small steps, and they have to enjoy taking those small steps. They have to go and enjoy going to the gym and getting shots up and studying the game and watching video of themselves playing, or watching videos of other great players to be able to copy the moves that those players make. And you set those smaller goals step by step, and each one is a small achievement. You celebrate those small achievements, and before you know it, you're moving down this path towards those bigger more important goals that we talked about a minute ago. So I think that focusing on small steps is a key to developing a winner's mentality.
I agree. I actually I have my kids set goals throughout the season for themselves and for the team. And I have them do them independent of one another because I don't want them, because you know how kids are. One kid sets a goal, and then the next minute,
everybody copies the goal.
So what I do is I have the kids sit down, like the first or second practice, and they just have to write down, I want you to write a goal for yourself and a goal for the team. And I said it could be I normally tell them that I'd like the goal for themselves to be a short-term goal. And what steps they're going to do to meet that goal. And then the team goal, it can be either short or long term, because I don't like to set long term goals for kids, because I think, you know, if they are like halfway, like say they said, I want to score 100 points by the end of the season or something, and then we're halfway through the season and they're at like 22 points, well, they're probably not going to get to 100 points. So
I like
to make a more short term situation than a long term. So I have the kids write short term goals and say, what steps do you need to make in order to get there? And I think, you know, focusing on the small steps eventually will lead to those good things like winning the championship or having an undefeated season or even like only losing one game for the whole season. I think ultimately the short-term goals will lead into the long-term goals.
I like that idea of breaking it down into short-term goals. And I like the idea of having an individual goal as well as a team goal. I read there was a girls coach in Iowa, and his name escapes me, but he sort of did that same thing, what you described, and he usually did it in the preseason. And then he added one other thing. He actually asked those same questions of the parents on his team. What's your individual goal for your child, and what's your team goal for your child's team? But then he added one more question that he posed both to the players and to the parents, and that question was, if you can't get those two things, then what do you want your basketball experience this year to look like? And I thought it was an interesting way of, you know, of phrasing it, because a lot of times, you know, when kids put down individual goals, again, especially if we're talking about a season-long goal and we're not breaking it down, you know, into that short term, you know, kids will say something like, you know, I want to average 15 points a game, or I want to be a starter, or, you know, I want to make the all-state team, or I want us to, you know, the team goal is I want us to win the, you know, the conference, whatever it may be. And sometimes, you know, we go back to our earlier discussion about confidence. Sometimes kids tend to be a little bit overconfident in, you know, in what their goals are. And maybe they're not always as realistic. Yeah. So I think that by asking that question, you know, you get answers like, I want it to be fun. I want us to bond together as a team. I want to, you know, have a good relationship with my teammates. And so now you have an opportunity to have a discussion about what do we want this overall experience to look like. And sure, you may not be able to accomplish, or we may not as a team be able to accomplish the things that, you know, we talked about in our individual or our team goals. But if we fall short of those goals, how can we make our basketball experience a positive? And I think that's really a good way, you know, to approach developing a winner's mentality, because again, obviously we want to win on the scoreboard, but ultimately, especially when we're talking about youth basketball, you know, we want to win in the game of life. And develop better people. And I think that's what this was all about.
Perfect. And I think this ties in perfectly to our next one. Winners have a growth mindset. And I think, you know, it's easy for a player to just do what they know how to do and kind of to stick with it. But I think it's important for kids, and in order to be a winner, you need to be able to grow and become a better basketball player. And you need to step out of your comfort zone and do things differently if you want to become even better. And I think, you know, this kind of goes into the whole goal setting situation. You know, you can set goals for yourself and something you like, I want to become a better, you know, driver of the lane to the basket, or I want to be, you know, a better shooter. And, you know, but in order to do it, you need to execute and practice and be hardworking. But at the same time, you have to understand that you aren't the greatest basketball player. And, you know, we've talked at length on previous podcasts where a lot of times these youth basketball players come in thinking, like, they are so good, and when in reality they are not as good as they think they are, and they can't do all the things that they think they can do, but they still attempt to do them. So I think understanding that you need to learn and grow and become a better player through listening to the coaches and being coachable, or you know, staying after practice and getting extra shots up, or working in your driveway, working on ball handling and your own time, not just in the 45 minutes to an hour and a half of practice that you have every week. Like, you can't just show up to practice and think you're going to get better. You need to take initiative on yourself as well.
Right. And I think you kids also have to attribute that extra practice and that extra work. They need to equate that with their ability to grow and be successful. You know, when you talk about somebody who has a fixed mindset, the opposite of a growth mindset is somebody who attributes their failure or success to outside factors. So, you know, the coach doesn't like me, that's why I don't play, or, you know, my dad wouldn't put up the basket for me, or, you know, the refs cheated us in this game and that's why we didn't win, or, you know, if I just had a better pair of shoes that, you know, didn't give me blisters, I could get better. And they tend to put this blame on all these external factors that, again, they don't have any control over. And winners who have a growth mindset, you know, those kids, those people in life look at what they get and what they achieve as being a result of their hard work and their effort, not some fixed level of ability that they have. And from a basketball standpoint, if I think, you know, I'm never going to be a good basketball player because I'm not going to work hard because I know that I can never be good. And whereas somebody with a growth mindset says, hey, I'm not very good at this right now, but if I put in the work and the effort, I know I can improve and get better. And again, just like we talked about earlier, having a growth mindset is not something that just serves you well in basketball. It's something that serves you well in life. And I know, again, both of us are teachers and spend a lot of time in schools and meetings and things where people have spent a lot of time in the last, I would say, 5 years talking about how important it is for kids as students to have a growth mindset. And people that are successful in life, anybody that I've ever come across that's been successful in whatever field they're in is somebody who loves to learn, somebody who wants to get better at what they're doing. And so if we can teach that through the game of basketball, then we really have something. And, you know, by developing that growth mindset, we're helping kids not just on the basketball court, but we're helping them with a skill that they can use for the rest of their life. And to go along with that, let's go to number 7, which is winners see hard work as an opportunity and not a chore. And this is something that I think parents and coaches have to be very cognizant of when they're talking to their players or their kids. And one of the things that I've done, and I probably should do a better job of citing the resources where I find some of these things, but I read at one point an article that talked about framing things in a different way with your kids. So instead of saying, we have to go to practice, you say to the kids, we get to go to practice. Instead of saying, you have to do your math homework, it's you get to do your math homework. And framing things as an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to experience something new, as opposed to a chore that has to be done. And by doing that, it just puts everything together so that kids see it as, again, an opportunity to improve and get better and not a chore that they have to slog through just in order to get done. And nobody wants to live a life where you're just slogging through. I know that what I try to do with myself and my family is to look at things as opportunities to have great experiences as opposed to chores that we have to get through. If life is just a chore to get through, you're not going to be a very happy or fulfilled person.
I really like what you said there about making it like trying to make it like we get to work on things. Maybe I should try that with my kids with their vegetables.
You should try it. I can say I don't do it every time, but I've gotten better at making myself aware of the way that I'm framing things. So whenever I can and whenever I don't forget, I do try to frame it as, hey, we get to do this instead of we have to do that.
I'll try it with Will and his peas later today. I'll get back to you on that. I think the big thing is that, and this kind of goes along with a lot of what we said, is, you know, things aren't going to be easy if you want to get better and you want to win and you want to do these great things. But you have to stay positive and you have to embrace the challenges. And I think that's the ultimately, you know, that's really important too, is embracing the fact that things aren't going to come easily. And you need to work hard. And the only way you're going to do that is if you work hard. I mean, the only way you're going to get better is if you work hard. So bottom line, I mean, that's ultimately what's going to have to happen. All right, let's move on to the last one. Winners increase the odds in their favor. And I think this kind of goes along with a lot of what we've already said, you know, surrounding your, you know, we talked about how, you know, you need to be a good role model, make the people better. But at the same time, you need to surround yourself with people that are good role models. You need to make good choices that are positive for yourself and positive for your friends, family, and people around you, your teammates. And I think, you know, at my old school, we had a saying we had to say every morning. It was our school motto, or I can't remember what they called it, but it was, we all have choices. Choices have consequences. Be smart and make the right choice. And I think it's really important, if you want to be a winner and you want to have a good mentality, you need to put yourself out there and you need to make the right choice. You, even if your buddy is doing something that you think is really not a good decision, that doesn't mean go along with him. You know, we say all the time, you know, if your friend was going to, is going to jump off a bridge, would you do it? You know, it's kind of like that. You need to make the good choices and you need to make the choice that's best for you and the best that's going to, the best decision for you as a person and as a basketball player.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think here, what I would say is that you want to, yes, make good choices. And a lot of times you make your choices easier by the people and the situations that you surround yourself with. So if you're around other winners, other good people, other good kids, other good players who are making smart choices about their practice habits, about the things that they do off the floor, about the decisions that they're making, it makes it much easier for you to make good choices. If I have four friends and I'm in high school who don't drink and don't go to parties, and those are the guys I hang out with, it's going to be a lot easier for me to make the choice not to drink. Whereas if my four best friends are guys who are at parties all the time and they're who I hang out with, even if I don't want to drink, if I'm constantly being put into that type of situation, it's much more difficult for me to make the choice not to drink. And so I think by making initial choices, we make the choices that come later much easier. I'll give you a great example. When I was in high school, I had a good friend who I was friends with all through junior high, and I was friends with him all through high school, and we're still friends today. And yet, I know there was a point, I can't remember what year it was in high school, where he started hanging out with a guy who I didn't like and who was kind of making bad choices and into a scene that I wasn't really into. And so my friend started hanging around with him. And at that point, I kind of backed off the friendship because I just didn't want to put myself in a position where I was going to be in places and be with people that I didn't like the things that they were doing. So in order to make my next choice easier, I made that first choice to just not put myself in those situations. And sometimes, again, you have to make difficult decisions in order to increase those odds and make them in your favor when it comes to being successful. By just surrounding yourself with the right kind of environment and the right kind of people, you're much more likely to be able to make good choices and therefore end up with good outcomes.
I really, and you know, and everyone has a story, like you just said, about high school. I mean, I have stories about that too. Like, I had a few friends, like, I don't talk to them anymore, like, because they kind of, you know, they shunned me for not doing the party thing. You know, my view on things was, I was the guy that when I was old enough to drive and whatnot, like, if my friends were out doing the party things, if they needed a ride, I was that gullible kid that would come and pick them up and drive them to where they needed to be. Obviously, that was before Uber thing has happened and things like that that we have now. But, you know, I was that kind of friend. But at the same time, like, a few of my friends in high school, when I made those choices to not hang out with them, I kind of just, they stopped talking to me because they didn't think I was quote unquote cool. And I'm, you know what, that just showed me that they weren't the right people to hang around. They weren't the people that I wanted to surround myself to make myself, you know, a better person and a better, you know, human being. And that was just ultimately it. And like for me, it didn't really impact my basketball life, but it did impact my social life and how I handle myself now. And I think it's really important, you know, we talk about these things when we talk about basketball, but it's more important to realize that all of these things that we're talking about today impact our everyday lives in every aspect. And I think that's important. You know, ultimately we're a basketball podcast, but you know, a lot of these things that we talk about can improve the children and the youth and adults in their everyday lives, not just in their basketball lives.
Jason, I agree completely with that. I think one of the things that it's very, very important to remember, whether you're a parent or you're a coach, is that you want to use the game of basketball to help your child or help your players not just become better basketball players, but become better people so that they're more successful and happier in their later life. And that's really the goal of what anybody who's coaching, in my opinion, should be trying to do, is develop good basketball players and also develop better people. So let's do a quick review of the 8 ways that you can help your child or player develop a winner's mentality. Number 1, winners have confidence. Number 2, winners do the right thing. Number 3, winners believe their future is bright. Number 4, winners make those around them better. Number 5, winners embrace the journey and focus on small steps. Number 6, winners have a growth mindset. Number 7, winners see hard work as an opportunity, not a chore. Number 8, winners increase the odds in their favor. Thanks for listening to this episode, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Head Start Basketball is excited to announce their new Player Development Academy classes. This offers Cleveland area players a unique opportunity to improve their basketball skills. Regardless of a player's age, skill level, or position, training with Head Start Basketball will elevate their game to the next level. All player development classes will be held at the Strongsville Recreation Center on Monday evenings. During your child's first class, we will evaluate his or her ball handling, shooting, and agility. We will discuss your availability and schedule to ensure we have them in the right class for their development. Players will be evaluated frequently to ensure they are training in the proper class for their current skill level. For more information about this class, please visit headstartbasketball.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, brought to you by Head Start Basketball.